poor countries.
The what?
That the wars will get into the
poor countries.
I don't know. We'll find out.
I guess so. You know,
we may be destroyed and won't be involved that much. I don't know.
Wars are so terrible. I'm a civilian.
Testing 1, 2. Yeah.
Because the armies try to take care
testing.
Of them.
Yeah, but we've been free from it.
Oh, yes. Yes.
We've been. Test. Is it working?
No.
Yeah.
World War II. It was so terrible to see the children.
Yeah, but that's nothing what's coming.
Yeah.
No, because God's going to be involved.
You know, when the soldiers got into trouble giving food away to the kids.
Yeah, I know, it's terrible. War. Patton said war is hell.
Oh, it is.
It is, yes.
Yes.
You can't. Right. Okay, I guess we're ready to begin. I don't know if my microphone's working, but is this thing working? Is this working? You don't hear it? Testing 1. Now you hear it? Okay.
Can you reach it?
Well, see, we're getting feedback, and I don't understand why.
Feedback? Are we ever?
Yeah. All right, is that working now? Okay. Under outline, page 1, I've got to get back here, I guess. See, the land of Israel and the Gentile nations. It's all measured from Israel. You can't understand it if you don't keep Israel as the center focus. Now, a lot of people are asking questions about the U.S. Let's forget about the U.S., okay? The U.S. is not the center of the world. We've had our day, and I believe we're under judgment, and we're not going to enter into this possibly until into future wars, not the first war. All right? Actually, I think the way it goes, we will not get into the war of Psalm 83.
Will not get in the war of what?
The U.S. will not enter the war of Psalm 83. That'll be our first time.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Now, Jerusalem is the apple of God's eye. The target for Satan is not Israel. I don't know why this does that. Can you move that thing a little further, maybe? I don't know if it's... Well, the antenna goes from here to there, and that goes in there. Why am I getting the feedback from here? I'm getting it off of this speaker, I think, aren't I?
You get sound feedback, not
electronic. Yeah. But if I turn it down too much, we don't hear it. All right. So the focus is Jerusalem. Satan is after Jerusalem. And all you need to do is get your foot in, and then you can get your second foot in, then you can get your arm in, and so on. That's what he's trying to do. But he's using this Palestinian thing to do it.
You know,
there comes a time when Israel will say no, and they have to protect themselves. So what we need to look at, there are layers around, of course, the Mediterranean is here, but there are layers around Israel. And layer 1 are bordering countries. Bordering countries. Okay, to the south, who is it? Egypt. To the east?
Jordan.
Jordan. North?
Syria.
There's Syria. And Lebanon. Now, does Iraq touch? Go to your map.
It touches Jordan. Well, I don't think it's Jordan and Iran.
No.
No.
Iraq does not touch.
No.
Okay. Gaza?
Gaza, yes.
Yeah. And West Bank. This is where the Palestinians are, in Gaza and the West Bank. They're separated. They want to put a corridor between here. Well, you see, once they start doing that, then Jerusalem's over here, and they get half of Jerusalem. Well, then they're going to want to have roads over here, and then they're going to want to have roads over here, and then we're going to take this. You know, see what I'm saying? And then you got the Golan Heights up here. Well, we're going to take that. That's the way of chopping them down. That's Satan's plan, right? So all those are mentioned. Then we have layer two, which has to go beyond them. So once you get beyond Egypt, what do you get to? Libya, right? Now, Libya is called what in the Bible times? Put. No. But it wasn't just the land there. It probably included today Algeria and Tunisia. Then you get south of there, you get to Kush, which is Sudan and Ethiopia. Outer. Right? Now you get to outer over here, you get to, from Jordan, Saudi Arabia. But you see that Saudi Arabia is exempt. Exception. Over here we have Iraq, and we have Persia, and then the allies of them through Russia and these other groups become the outer layer. That's number two under there. Then the third one out is going to be the Gentile Western world, which is the EU and possibly the USA, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, that group. But we're looking at Psalm 83 now, and that's going to be layer one. And see if that doesn't hold up to be true. So if we turn our page, you're going to see information I provided that we're going back and forth to, so you don't have to go through the Bible. But here I have Gog and Magog, which we'll use later. We have the Japhethites, Hamites, and the Semites. But look at the bottom of page 3. I want to show you the overview for all the wars. Yeah, bottom of page 3. That other stuff is just for reference. This is the timeline as far as sequencing. War 1 is a pre-tribulation war, and it's basically a war between Israel and Islam, conventional predominantly. Then we have another one that comes prior to the tribulation, is War 2, the Gog-Magog War. There are two Gog-Magog Wars, number 9 and number 2. But they're totally different. People confuse them. Then you start into the tribulation. Of course, you're into Revelation. And we have Wars 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And ending with Armageddon, War 8. That is your overview. War 5 comes in the middle of the tribulation. That's the war in heaven, you know, where Satan goes to heaven and kicked out and makes war with Israel, second half of the tribulation. But that's kind of the overview. There is no disagreement about War 1 coming before the tribulation. Some Bible teachers, Hawking's gone back and forth on this, say that the second war is the same as the eighth war. Of course, then you'd eliminate one and you'd have, that'd be number 7. This is a lot based on David Reagan. David Reagan has stayed the same all through the years I've studied him. And I think sometimes you can get too much into the forest that you forget about some of the trees that you've already locked in place. Right? Yeah. And so a minor detail comes out to you and starts to change your whole view when some of the major things you forgot about and you just switch. So anyway, this is the way I'm going to present it. And of course, there could always be some variations when you get into prophecy. So let's go into page 4. And each war is going to have kind of a similar outline, but you should really write down some things. Okay, War 1 is going to be the war of what?
Extermination.
It means getting rid of, based on Psalm 83, Zechariah 12, 6, and Amos 9, 15. Now, what you want to do is put down the Bible names, and then what are the present day names, and what does it actually taking place there. So if we read Psalm 83, and I want to take it a section at a time now to really think about this and think about the news today. Is what's going on in Libya going to be involved in Psalm 83? No, because it's in the outer layer. But what's going on with the PLO and Jordan and Lebanon and Syria? Yes. So read the few opening verses and I'll just stop you when I want to talk about something. Somebody read. Psalm 83.
O God, do not keep silent. Do not hold your peace or be still. O God, for behold, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you have raised their heads. They make crafty plans against your people. They consult together against your treasured ones. They say, come, let us wipe them out of the nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they conspire with one accord. Against you they make a covenant, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites.
Okay, stop right there. What are they asking for? Oh God, what?
Do not keep silent.
Yeah, hear from us. We want to hear from you. We want to know that we are connected to you. Is that beginning to happen more in Israel with the Jewish people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You should know that there's a battle within Israel as much as there is from the outside. Because there are many that want to function according to the Bible, believing that God will fulfill exactly what He says He's going to do, because they've already seen the desert bloom. There's a verse that talks about roses in the Negev. You know that they are now growing roses in the desert, 125 degree heat, and they're shipping them all over the world. They see it literally fulfilled. They name the trees that will grow again in Israel. They're all growing there now. Somebody's throwing something in a dumpster.
I thought we were being bombed.
No. No.
The war of extermination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has started.
Well, you know, I think this verse 4 says it all. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more.
Right.
And that's what they're trying. They want to eliminate Israel, period.
That's right. And have they made it a secret?
No.
No.
Then why can't people see it?
They're blinded. Verse 4.
I think many of them see it but don't care.
Well, they don't care.
That's some of it, yes.
But they're also being blinded, yes. They have to be blinded. And they're waffling. Our president has embraced Israel early in his administration, even though he gave the speech in Cairo. And then he turned against them. But now he's up for re-election. He needs the Jewish vote again.
Oh, yes.
Now, when you try to appease them all, you appease nobody. He's not respected on either side anymore.
Right.
I was reading in some document, this is what the Muslims are saying. If the president hugs and kisses you, you know for sure you'll be gone.
Good. That's a sign of immediate death.
What he did when he was elected and went over to Egypt and hugged and kissed Mubarak and then turned against him, and now Egypt's in a mess. And they're going to become Israel's enemy and our enemy. But you can see the scenario is being set up. Now Egypt, the people coming into power there, want to eliminate Israel. They want to get rid of that peace treaty that Sadat and Israel signed, and he got assassinated because of it. But they want to get rid of that. All right. So what Roy said, it's in the Bible, is very clear today, that the Muslims want to eliminate Israel, so it's not even heard of. They don't speak of Israel in their country, and they have no map with Israel on it. And yet, in Christian Bibles, if you've got a map in the back and call Palestine, you better cross it out. It was not Palestine in the time of Jesus. And yet, it says that in our Bibles, many Bibles. The map, the Palestine in the time of Jesus. When Jesus came back from Egypt, what does it say in Matthew? And they came into the land of Israel.
Yeah.
It wasn't named Palestine until a couple hundred years later.
Yeah.
And see, we don't even want to deal with the truth, because Satan is the father of lies. So there's no doubt about it, but that's their goal, because Satan's behind it. And when you can hate somebody you've never met, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Pretty bad. So we got those two things. They want to hear from God, and they are saying that we know now that they want to eliminate us. Israel hasn't believed that. Many of the leaders still believe in one flaw on the Bible, Jeremiah 17:9. They haven't got that one straight yet, many of them. The heart's deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. And who can even know it? They believe that there's some good in everybody, and you need to work with the good to help it to grow. That's why they kept trusting these land deals. Well, every time they gave up land, they just put more mortars in there. Israel has honored every agreement. The Palestinians have broken every agreement. Their pattern is established. And yet, we know that the Bible predicts that all nations will come against them. Turn to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. It's a messianic psalm. It's a psalm that has not been fulfilled. Now watch this closely. Did all nations surround Israel at the time that Israel went into captivity?
I think so.
Who was there and took the northern kingdom? The Assyrians. They weren't all the world. And who came and took the southern kingdom? Babylon. When it says all nations, does that fit? It's never happened before. All nations have never been surrounding Jerusalem.
That's right.
It's future. The Psalm 2 is future. What does it say? It's a short one. Just read it, somebody.
Well, it says, the kings of the earth shall take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord.
Okay, now, in those days, they were kings. Today, it could be paraphrase to say the authorities, the rulers, right? The governments. Okay.
So since the Lord is the Lord of Israel, when it says they're against the Lord, how does that put? Now let's see. And the rulers gather together against the Lord.
Now that's so important.
That's the same thing as saying against Israel.
Right.
Because Israel, God is has never changed his mind.
Yes. God looks at that they're against him.
He's still
absolutely.
His chosen people. They always have been. They always will be.
Well, it's the same as you as a Christian. When somebody goes up against you, they're going up against your Lord.
Exactly.
And who's going to take care of it?
The Lord.
The Lord will.
Exactly.
Okay, keep going.
That's heavy stuff.
Yeah, keep going. Glad you pointed it out.
Going?
Here.
Okay. Let's see. I'll start with verse 3. Let us break their chains, it says, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance. The ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you will be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Okay, when it talks about Zion in the holy hill, what are they talking about? Yeah, the Temple Mount. Yeah, Mount Moriah. That's where Abraham went with Isaac. I believe it's where Boaz has his threshing floor in that Ruth situation. Right. And that's where the temple was built. And it's in Jerusalem, highest point in Jerusalem, right? So God says, because you are all going to go against them, well, who do you suppose is working it out so they do go against? Satan's doing it, but God's still over Satan. He said, okay, I'm going to fulfill my plan and take care of the whole situation.
So God is allowing some of these things to happen.
Yes, because he uses the schemes of the devil. Yeah.
Right in the beginning, it says, and those who hate you, God,
right,
have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people. So the emphasis is there. The anger is towards God.
On the Temple Mount, over here, is a dome with a rock. Mm-hmm. The Muslim mosque. On the walls of that, it says, God has no son. That's a direct insult to Jesus Christ.
Oh, that is.
And it's right on the holy hill.
Ooh. I had no idea.
Yeah, right. Okay, going back to Psalm 83. So they're going to be crying out to God, and they want to hear from God. So that means that they've got to get back to his word. Right?
Right.
And they need to received the Messiah who came the first time, and now he's going to lay out the nations. Okay, so what are they?
Edom and the Ishmaelites.
Okay, Edom and the Ishmaelites. Okay.
Moab and the Hebrites.
All right.
Jebel, Ammon and Amalek.
Okay.
Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them.
Okay. Now, if you go to your map, you'll see where these are located. If you think of the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River, we're talking about south of the Dead Sea and going up here. By the way, in Edom is also where Petra is located. It's the only area that the Antichrist, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but in that war, of War 8, he is not able to conquer this area because that's where the remnant's going to go. Right, so that's Edom. And then north of there is Moab and Ammon. Right? And then you have one other in there. What do you have?
Well, above that is on the map, Hagar, Syria.
Well, you have the Hagarites. Hagarites over here. No, Hagarites, Egypt. All right, so on your outline, put down what it says in Psalm 83. You can abbreviate them wherever you want. And let's now identify which ones they are. The Hagarites are the Egyptians. You can go back to my first outline section of Abraham's lineage, and you can find it there too. You can work this week on some getting this nailed down too. Alright, the Edomites came off of Esau, and today that's modern day southern Jordan. Moabites are central Jordan, and the Amorites are northern Jordan. Okay, so we got, and the Israelites are people who are spread out in these countries because they're the Arabs. They are not controlled. They're not the Muslims usually. We just call them Arabs, but that's not technically correct. Okay, then we have...
Excuse me, where was the Ishmaelites, did you say, in the Edom area?
I said Ishmaelites.
Yeah. Ishmaelites, are they in the Edom area?
The Ishmaelites are going to be spread out in all those.
Spread out all over.
Yeah, they're the... Yeah.
Edomites are all...
Of course, there's intermarriage and whatever. And the other Israelites, Saudi Arabia is not included.
Yeah.
Okay, then it's what?
Moab.
All right, we got Moab.
Okay,
Ammon. We got Ammon. What?
Jebel, G-E-B-A-L.
And that one, I'm not sure. It's probably a sub-area within here. If anybody has that one. Anybody's Bible have that one? Okay, what's next?
Amalek.
Oh, Amalek. The Amaleks were over in here also. Yeah. So that other one's probably there. They were a tribe.
Amalek.
Yeah. Remember him? They had a lot of wars with the Amaleks.
And Philistia.
Okay.
Gaza.
Okay, that's Gaza today. That's the Palestinians. Palestine. The Philistines were named that. Right, that's Gaza today.
Tyre would be...
Okay, Tyre's up here. Tyre is now Lebanon. Right. Tyre is Lebanon. And then also the Assyrians, which are Assyria today. Now, it just happens to be that all those countries border Israel. Every one of them, no exception. Right? So we have the old names, and we all know the new names. We're talking about Egypt, we're talking about Jordan, and we're talking about the Palestinians, we're talking about the Lebanese. Now, not all the Lebanese, because some of them are Christian, but the controlling Lebanon and Syria. Okay, what's next?
Reading it now?
Yeah.
Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Jabin at the brook Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became his refuse on the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yes, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession.
Okay. Now, what he's talking about there is something that happened in the past. Something that happened in the past. You remember the time when David was trying to solidify the kingdom? And when Joshua had gone in way before, they never drove out all the enemies. Right? You still had the Jebusites, the Hittites, all those groups that are mentioned. The tights, and they never did. All right, so they're in these areas as well, and some living actually in Israel itself. So what David had to do was, that's why he was a warring king He had to go out and deal with all these groups so he could solidify the nation of Israel. They were, let's say, the neighbors. These groups that are named there were the neighboring around Israel, and actually within the Israel borders, which we have here with Gaza in the West Bank. So that took place before, and they're saying, let this happen again. Does that make sense? We know you did it before, under King David, really. We need to have that restored. Now remember this, when many of the people in Israel who were accepting the Messiah were asking him this question, when will you restore the kingdom? Now the kingdom you have to identify is not the millennium. They're not asking about his second coming. He's there now. When are you going to restore the kingdom? And what does the kingdom mean? Yes, is David. Not Solomon, but David. Because they know the prophecy of the throne of David enduring and will come back. But it doesn't come back in modern day Israel. It comes back when the Messiah returns. So you got two types of a Messiah. The same Messiah, but two types. And they got that mixed up. Now they're under Roman captivity, right? Very, very evil situation. Well, why wouldn't they want that delivered? Right? Yes, they would want that. But they weren't looking at the Bible. How about Christians today? How do we want the church? We want to reclaim the church. Right? It won't be reclaimed until the real church is removed and brought back at the time of the second return of the Lord. Right? Same thing. If you understand Israel's history, you'll understand what's going to happen with the church. And is happening. I know a lot of us do, and there are a lot of people out there. They're called Reconstructionists. James Kennedy was one of the big leaders. We're going to reclaim America. And he had this whole big television network of reclaiming America. Well, you can't reclaim America unless you claim the gospel. You got to proclaim the gospel, because as you have more true believers, you will have restored morality, right? When the church is truly strong, society will follow along. People didn't dare to do the things they talk about on TV today. Even violating the law. Right? So, you got to keep that straight. And we have to have a little empathy for them, that they got the two mixed up. The first is pictured by Joseph as a suffering servant. All the prophecies about the first coming are the suffering servant, the Lamb of God, coming to take away the sins of the world. Right? But the second one is that he's going to be the government. He is going to be the priestly line. He's going to be priest and king and rule the entire world, not just Israel. So where does the throne of David come in? Who's going to sit on David's throne? David or Jesus?
Jesus.
And so the throne in Jerusalem becomes the throne for the world in the millennium. Right? But David is going to be restored into leadership and probably will be, what some people say, the mayor of Jerusalem. And we're going to be living in Jerusalem, so he'll be our mayor. Wouldn't that be nice? I think so, yes.
When it says here in verse 9 and onward, deal with them as with Midian, Sisera, Jabin, and what have you. Would it be wise for us to go back and study how he took care of each one?
I think it would be, yes.
The same way that he will do it?
Yes. I think we know what it is, but yes, you could go back that way. He eliminated them.
Yeah. Well, I know it's a general judgment, but I think, well, one of them had a stake through the heart by someone, and kind of wondered.
Yeah, you could go back.
Put them as.
Yes, right. Well, that's their request. That's their request. And this is why it's called extermination. Now, have we finished that, Tom?
No.
Okay, let's finish the rest of it, then I'll give you some concluding things.
Where is it? 6 day war. Yeah.
Pardon?
He was killed. He did. He gone.
It's about the 6 day war.
Shit.
Here, can you copy the thing?
Anyway, they were going to send back the tanks, and anyway, they were going to put backup lights on them.
And yeah.
I used to kid the Chinook boys and another one that was staunch. Well, they had become Christians later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I told them, I said, they're going to send it. Takes back to the Ford Motor Company and put back up lights on them.
I think it's a good idea. Get rid of them. Okay, so it finishes.
Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind as the fire burns the woods and as the flame sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth.
Okay, now notice it's not just vengeance. It's to protect the survival of Israel, and that God's name will be honored, and hopefully our enemies will come to you. Seek your face means to seek Him, right? So this is a very positive thing. We should always feel that way about our enemy, that they would turn to the Lord, right? Because their salvation is more important. But the survival of Israel is key. So how is this going to play out? Here's Israel. Well, what has to happen is they have to have an alliance here. They're going to have to do something to provoke. Right? Now, I'm just going to speculate on a possibility, or it's going to be something like this. It's got to be triggered by something, and once that happens, Israel will let go. Because they've got Iran over here with nuclear capabilities, and they're trying to put them into into Syria. But now that Syria is being disrupted, the Iranians don't like that. Because with the ruler up there, they had an agreement and they were working together. You got to remember, behind all of the Muslim things is the Shiite-Sunni battle. And the Shiite-Sunni battle is really between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Because this is the Sunni capital and this is the Shiite. But the Holy Land for the Shiites is in Iraq. And their cemetery for all Shiites is actually in Iraq. This is why they wanted to get Iraq during the Iraq and the Iranian war, way back. We helped them get Iraq by taking Saddam out. But that's what they want. Most of the residents in Iraq are Shiite. Minor Sunnis and Kurds. But the Shiite are the majority population. They are a minority in the whole Islamic world. They're about 10% of the Muslims. Indonesia, in Pakistan, Bangladesh, those countries are Sunni. And I don't go into history, but one group follows Muhammad's bloodline and the other follows his apostles or disciples. That's their difference. They have some holiday differences and so on. But that's what they want to do. Saudi Arabia wants everything to stay status quo, basically. Iran wants to create disruption so they can get control. So they're going to be trying to get control, not just of Israel. That's their unifying thing, so we all kind of working together. But then they'll betray each other as things start going. And so Iran will try to sweep down into here. But remember, they're in the second layer, the Gog-Magog situation. So what is going to happen? Well, as you really study this, you'll see that the first two wars, the Western world doesn't intervene. And Russia on the first one. Today, look what's happening with this Palestinian thing. Don't you think the world is getting sick of the whole thing? The economy in Europe is terrible. They might have a major bank collapse in Europe, which is going to roll over to us. We're not doing very well. Now that our president's kind of talking nice about Israel, maybe things will, you know, how things go. But ultimately, what's going to happen is Israel is going to wipe them out. They have the capability. They can wipe them out. Egypt isn't even organized. And who knows what side these people would be on. Jordan, right now, is being undermined by the Muslim Brotherhood. Because they're going to get control. The Muslim Brotherhood are getting control of Egypt. They're getting control of Libya, which our president had helped them. Do you know that?
Yes.
It's actually on record that our president, well, he's a Muslim. He thinks the Muslim Brotherhood are the good guys. They're going to get control, then they're going to ask him to be in charge. I think that's my theory. Yeah. Now, up in Syria, you have the same thing, Muslim Brotherhood. They already are in Lebanon, right? They got Hezbollah and all these different things, but this group is kind of the senior group that presents themselves in a positive way. But now they're trying to work into here. So in other words, there's already so much instability in the Muslim countries. How are they going to get together? Well, the only thing that can unify them is hatred towards Israel. Right? And they've been using Gaza and the West Bank and dividing Jerusalem and all those kinds of things. Well, the Jews said no way are they going to negotiate Jerusalem, period. That's totally out, which is fortunate. But how if these people start attacking or whatever, I don't know. Or they, by the way, Egypt now has Israeli army is now on the border here. They're calling up all their reserves and they're putting them down there because they expect attack coming this way. They're also working and protecting the Golan Heights up here because it's a high area that Syria, if they don't control that, they can launch missiles from there. So somewhere, something is going to let go and Israel's going to take the whole group out. The Bible predicts it. There are other prophecies that talk about Israel in the end times being very prosperous and having a lot of land. Now, if you go back to Genesis, when God gave Israel the land, the covenant land, what did it include? From the great river, which is probably the Nile, so that's part of Egypt, right? All right, definitely Gaza, definitely the West Bank, definitely Jordan, all right, and Lebanon, Syria, and actually part of Iraq, to be technical. So basically, they're getting back the covenant land. And I look at it this way, in summary. God is saying, yo, you've been fighting over my land. My people have honored your treaties, which were lies on your part. I've headed up to here. You're gone. You're gone. And it can be that quick. They have a great military. They have great intelligence. They have weaponry today that are advanced to ours. They are now the technological capital of the world in Israel. Bill Gates and another guy put $1 billion in their economy. And with the God blessing the Jewish minds, they're coming up with technology that's unbelievable.
That's right. You know, Paul, from a military point of view, all Israel has to do is eliminate Iran, and that whole confederacy will collapse. Because
no, it won't.
You don't think so?
No, because they'll bring Russia in.
Well, that's a different story.
And China. Now you're getting into the second war.
Yeah, that's right.
You can see why. You can see why the next war will come.
Yeah.
But this will be a while. Remember, we talked about Israel being at peace before that big false peace treaty. Yes, there will be a situation like that. It's maybe hard for us to sit here and believe it, but I can believe it more strongly today than I could 3 weeks ago. Right? Why would our president want to veto this Palestinian deal? You know he didn't want to.
No. He has to.
No. I don't think he wanted to.
Politically.
But he's trying to protect himself, and he needs to get reelected, and he cannot have the Jewish people in our country against him. They gave him a lot of money in the last election, and he had most of their votes.
Yeah.
And the greatest thing that Obama has done for Israel is unified Israel, because they're against him. For the first time, the Jews do not like the president, and that is unifying the secular and the religious Jews in Israel.
Did anyone hear Netanyahu speech before the United Nations? It was incredible. Now, what's going to happen if Abbas doesn't get his treaty or whatever his plan there?
Who?
Abbas.
Oh, the leader of the Palestinians?
What's going to happen?
Well, what he has the other option is to become, so they can be recognized by the UN in a different type of status.
Yeah.
And they could be on the Security Council as a rotating member. Remember, Israel has been denied that.
Yeah. So what's going to happen if he doesn't get that? What are they going to do?
He's still going to get
well, he could get it because the General Assembly can vote it, but it doesn't have legal. They don't have the legal aspect, but it could. He said that he's not going to take no for an answer. I think that is going to what provokes all this. And I think that's when the Western world says, let Israel take care of them. Let them take care of them. That's where I think it's coming. They're pulling back their support. You see?
So your last question is, when does it take place?
When does it take place? I thought it, is it when?
When?
Okay.
Last question on War 1.
Okay, well, when do you think?
Anytime.
Yeah, it can happen at any time. Netanyahu is firm.
Tomorrow.
That's right.
Okay, but anytime. It has to be, remember this now, Israel will not strike first.
No, they won't.
They have a policy. They won't strike first. The only thing that they've done is take out things. Remember when we had the Liberty ship out here,
yeah,
spying on them and giving all that information to the British? And basically then backed into the Muslims that were fighting Israel in the war, was it the War of 73 or the, yeah, wasn't that? Okay, they warned and warned and warned and flew over that ship, and finally they destroyed it. They fired at it. We had our planes coming off an aircraft carrier, and the president called them back because we were helping their enemy. Right? I think it was Johnson was president then. You look at the U.S. presidents in Israel, and you'll see a lot of things. Kennedy got eliminated because he wasn't going to let Israel arm itself. Johnson did. And one interesting thing about Nixon, his mother had told him that someday he'd be in a position to help Israel. And during that war of 73, the Prime Minister of England called him at night when they were being attacked by the Syrians and all that, and they didn't have the equipment they needed. They didn't ask for an army, they just sent. And overnight, they airlifted all that to the front lines and saved Israel. See, so God uses things, and that's why we got to be careful that, you know, we had to have Obama as our president to do the things he's doing. Because it's all part of God's plan. You got to detach yourself from being a citizen of this country and being a citizen of heaven. You know what the word politics in Greek means? You know what politics means? It means citizenship. My politics is in heaven. Right? I'm not saying we should forsake our country and all those kinds of things, but you should always look at it in perspective to the Bible and your relationship with the Lord. Shouldn't it?
You know, you can go back to the first day that Israel became a nation in 1948,
mm-hmm,
and all these Arab countries attacked them immediately.
Right.
So that should have been the end of them. But God was with them in every one of these wars. That, like when you're talking about Nixon in that war, the Syrians had probably 500 tanks for every one that the Israelis had.
Right.
And yet the Israelis won the tank war.
But you got to remember,
so God was with
that
them.
God is concerned about the enemies of Israel too. He has a lot of mercy and a lot of grace. And what has happened? If they had been destroyed there, think of all the people who become Christians in this region that would not be saved. They would have been killed. Right?
That's right.
So we got to remember that. How would you feel if you were born in one of those countries and then received the Lord? And have to be very careful and see a child who shared his faith and then they chopped his head off in Saudi Arabia, your 15-year-old son, and things like this. We've been totally tranquilized as a Christian. We think we're persecuted? No. No. I've lived in Saudi Arabia, and I lived in Morocco. Morocco's moderate, but you still need to be very careful, because the Saudis, what they do? The Saudis go into the other Muslim countries and build mosques and bring their people over and their clerics and try to establish strong Sharia law. Right? They operate under the law. So in other words, if they saw a guy and a gal walking down the street arm in arm, they would try to find out where she lived, they would get her, they would kill her, and they have chainsaws in their truck. Trunks. They cut her arms and legs off, and then they crisscrossed them on the street corner. And while I was there, there were legs like that and arms crisscrossed, and a lot of blood. Yeah. You see piles of spots of blood every now and then places. they took care of it. The government in Morocco's not going to say anything about it. So they got Sharia law there. You have to be really careful.
What do you think about Saudi Arabia allowing women to vote?
About what?
Saudi Arabia allowing women to vote.
Oh, they are?
It's going to happen just recently,
last couple of days.
They are?
King, what's his name?
Yeah.
Abdullah?
Yeah.
I've actually personally met him. I didn't know he was that old, but... he looked younger back in 85.
And you talk about Syria, the Bible says Damascus will be wiped out.
Yes.
So
that's right.
You know it's going to be a nuclear war. Well, you talk like that.
Well...
Iran will probably have them fortified with nuclear weapons. That's why they'll have to do it.
Yes, Damascus could be wiped out in this war, or it could be the following war.
Yeah, that's right. It could be either one.
Yeah, because they aren't going to kill everybody in the countries. They're going to get rid of their governments. And a lot of those people are going to go for it. Yeah, let me tell you this. I have some people I know who are strong Muslims. They came to this country. I met them through the schools because their kids I was helping to assimilate, because I was director of multicultural education. And I became good friends of the family. And they're here because they were in Kuwait during Desert Storm. And when the Kuwaitis came back, they were Palestinians. They said, you were trying to help Saddam get rid of us so you could have this as your Palestinian state. So they want all the Palestinians out or they're going to kill them. See, this is how they treat their own people. So they had 5 children and they had passports and were able to leave. But the youngest didn't have a passport. And so the Kuwaitis said, throw him in the Gulf and leave now. Well, they went to the American and they said, take him with, just at the immigration, just explain the situation that you'll get in. Now they're all citizens. But Mr. Hassan is his name. He said, because he grew up in Gaza, and he said, my whole life was surrounded by war. Not only the war with Israel, but war within their own group. He said he almost got killed several times as a little boy out playing. And then they were involved in the Iraqi Iranian war when they were in Kuwait. It was right there. And then they're right in the middle of Desert Storm. And he said, when the Jews governed, things were better. We had more freedom, we had more prosperity, and we had more safety when the Jews governed Gaza. They hated Arafat, and the Western world allowed him to come in and take those people over. We did. He's the father of modern day terrorism, and he gets a Nobel Peace Prize, and he's in the White House. How stupid can we be? Those people see it, they can't understand the Western world and its politics. I said, because you don't understand oil. Yeah, you have to understand oil to understand all that.
Right.
And they also, this is another thing. They also think, I'll just call them Arabs, Muslims, okay? They all think Western people think they're stupid. They call them ragheads. I've had that happen when I was old. All those kinds of things. I said, no, they're not. God has gifted these people. They're wonderful merchants. They don't say a lot. And maybe they look strange dressed like that and everything else, but they're very shrewd. They really are. They let us build up the oil business with all the technology and everything. And I was one of the people training their young guys. And we went over and trained all their people. And then they said, we don't need you anymore. Leave. Well, I suppose I'd do that. But Saudi Arabia bought Standard Oil out dollar for dollar.
That's right.
Back when it was $2 a barrel. Iran was developed by the British. It was called A&P oil, Anglo-Persian.
Right.
Right. So they think they're going to be really smart and get rid of the Shah. because the Shah was a friend of the West, but he also was president of OPEC. And he solidified OPEC for the first time, and they put a cramp on the Western oil, remember 73, the embargo, and the Western oil companies are at the mercy of OPEC, and they are not going to stand for that. We got to bust that up. So we have to get rid of the Shah. We brought the Shah down, who was a friend of the West, and they protected Ayatollah in Paris, thinking he's a dumb Persian religious guy. And we'll bring him back and let him do his religious things and control the people, and we'll run the oil business. Well, they had a surprise, because he double-crossed them and kicked them out, and British lost all their oil investment. They did an evil thing by taking an evil man and putting him into a country where those people were pro-West. They were. The Iranian people had been terribly persecuted by us allowing it. We helped destroy Lebanon.
Oh, yeah.
The Bushes. Born-again Christians, supposedly, put the Quran in the White House. I mean, you couldn't have a more negative thing. As far as I'm concerned, I voted for him twice, but you could not have a more negative thing. For a professing Christian, he doesn't have to go out and badmouth them every day, but you certainly don't go out and embrace it and say it's equal to yours and you have the same God. Well, I think God said this: America, you have a president that said he honored me, but he put Satan in the White House. I'll give you a Muslim to go with that Quran he put in there. Yes, I do believe it. I believe that we asked, not we personally, but our politics demanded that that man had to be president. But God's still orchestrating all the things, and yeah.
What is so sad is when the Muslim population takes over an area like Gaza, it's all run down, it's dirty, it's... When I first went to Israel, the International Hotel was run by Israel. It was a beautiful hotel. The second time I went, it was run by the Arabs or whatever, and it was filthy.
Yes.
And what is it? Is it because of this, of Satan that's controlling them, or what?
Well, you got to understand their view of Allah. Allah wills it. In Saudi Arabia, they had more people being killed in auto wrecks than were being born for a few years.
Really?
The only way to get a driver's license, you just get a car, but you go and get an eye test and give a pint of blood. The requirement to get a driver's license. I got my driver's license with an eye test, which I failed, but the guy helped me pass. Well, they had circles. They don't have letters. It'd be like this. There's an opening, top, bottom, right, or left. And it was down the hallway, and there was light, and you know, I could see better than I do now. But I said, No. Yes. They're O's. What do you call zeros? No. Come here. Here. Oh, I see. Well, he stayed down there. So he said, okay, this one. Here. This one. He pointed to the openings. He said, okay, you pass. They have a different mindset. You have to get into the mind. Some of it I really like, but if it doesn't get done today, it's kind of like Mexico, and you know, don't worry about it. There's no problem. I learned there's never a problem because there's always a solution. The solution can be to ignore it, but they don't. A guy in a nice Mercedes, one of my students I was riding with, and it was chugging. I said, well, you need to get the air filter. No problem. No. I said, well, yeah, it will quit running. No problem. Well, then you won't be able to drive it. He said, I park it and get another one. No problem. See, you don't want to make problems for them. And they're training the same thing. If they're going to learn how to run the pipeline pumping station, you can't shut down one. You'll have a heart attack in the whole line. I mean, it's very scientific. So I said, you need to learn this. He said, no, I'll have my friend fix it. What if he's not there? Well, I know. It just blows up, I guess. Then we get another one. Yeah, he said, they had one of the biggest refineries got on fire when I was there. And the fire trucks could not get past security. The fire trucks. Because they didn't have the new sticker to get in that area. I checked out a truck from the motor pool and I went to a meeting. I got stopped. I had to go down here. I got stopped by the guards. They said, you can go in, but the truck can't go in. The truck doesn't have the right sticker. I said, well, what sticker do I need for here? He said, you've got the right one. Your papers are okay. But I had to park the truck and walk 2 miles to the meeting, but I hitched a ride from another person that had the right sticker. Well, instead of going crazy, it's fun. Oh, that's interesting. Now we'll see how this works. But the whole thing runs that way. So if something happened and something wasn't working at the hotel, the air conditioning went out.
Hey, it was very run down.
We'll get to it. They may never get to it.
Totally. I mean, it was run down.
Yeah, because they don't fix stuff.
Yeah, but look at Gaza. Everything that was left by Israel from Gaza.
I know.
They could really have done something with that.
I know.
To help themselves.
I know.
And they tore everything down.
Yes. Because of the hate towards Israel.
And we hear billions of dollars.
But it's just, I tell you, I worked with them, and I finally realized that I can't swim upstream.
Well, that's just,
I'm going to get a raft and float down the stream and enjoy the whole situation. Well, really, I mean, I had to start as a teacher because I had developed stuff and I trained people. I was writing some math problems on the board. Okay, so I had a plus sign that went like this. No. That's a Christian sign. I said, how is that a Christian sign? So it comes up there. I said, well, how do you know that's exact? Do you want to measure it? See, I go right along with them. Okay, we're going to have a little fun here. Okay, I have an idea. There, how's that? We can't use that sign anymore. Do you want? No, you need to write plus. Every time you use that sign, you're going to have to write plus. No, teacher, we don't want to write. Well, then I said, if you want to make it a Christian symbol, fine. I'm not making a Christian symbol. See, you work with them, right? Oh, I can go on and on about stuff. But if you aren't flexible and try to love them, because I had 300 of them, and we really got along fine. Really. And a lot of them, when I talked to them, I said, are you getting all that Muslim stuff? No. Out there, yes. In here, no. And they wouldn't let us take a lot of pictures of them, because if their father found out, they were wearing Western clothes. They had to wear Western clothes because the Gutra could get caught in the machine and stuff. I'll tell you one more. Show you how they don't approach it directly. Indirectly. We had 300 pair of safety boots. They're very expensive from Germany. But they're used to lightweight sandals. They didn't want to put their boots on in this one class. So they came up with something that would be against the Quran. So they put some water on sand and they put their boot print. And you only have a tread with a bunch of things. They said, that says Allah. Well, where is it, Allah? Well, here and there. That's Allah. We can't step on Allah. We can't wear the boots. We can't wear the boots. Okay, now what do we do? What do we do? We contact Germany and spend a lot of money to have them design a tread that won't look like any Arabic symbols at all. We get a bulldozer and go out, or a backhoe, whatever it was, in the desert somewhere, they don't know, and we dig a big trench and we take all these new boots and bury them.
Oh.
See? We didn't have a problem. We didn't have a problem. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you, and how people think differently, and they definitely have a mindset. But Father, many people are held captive and in bondage. And you gave us a freedom, a feeling of freedom, but to be free in Christ, to be free in you and to follow your ways, Father. And so we pray for these people, especially in this ring of countries that are bordering Israel that are going to be wiped out here soon, Father. And many, many people probably killed, but we pray that they will surrender peacefully and welcome Israel's rule, because Israel will be kind to these people, Father. And it'll be a great testimony to the world of who the Jews really are, Father. They're loving, caring people, Father. And we just thank you for that, that you have protected them. And we know you're protecting the church in the same way, and each and every one of us. We will live until our appointed time. You guaranteed it. Thank you for everybody who came today. Thank you for Alice's visit, Lord. And pray that this has been a blessing for all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul.
Yes. Oops, what was that?
Oh. Do we get Obama back again?
No. I think God's going to give us one.
Yeah, I think so. If it's up to our people, I think we'll get it back again.
Thank you for your delicious coffee.
No,
you
I don't
know
think
your
so.
Coffee's
no, I don't think it's.
Really?
I don't think so.
I don't even drink my own coffee.